Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Wilco Radio, Bazaria County, Texas, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Thirdly Confusing Thursday. It's the 14th day of May, 2020. The Patriot Broadcast is hosted by Henry Shively and John D., U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny. This is a live call-in program. Listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 712-770-5597. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 712-770-5597. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you're going to have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with John and myself. Well, it is currently 51 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 52 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and it continues to be cloudy and rainy. I guess spring has finally arrived. Let's go. Let's hope for summer now. That being said, how's the weather today out there in central Notchy Joisey, John?
Well, Henry, over here in the northeastern seaboard state of Notchy Jersey, at about an altitude of 120 feet above sea level, we've got 72 degrees, mostly blue skies with a few high wispy clouds, although I did see a chemtrail this morning, one chemtrail way out in the distance, and it had to be up there, oh, good 5,000 feet or so. That's the first one I've seen in a while, but outside of that, it's just a spectacular day here.
Well, maybe a few people missed the coronavirus. So they had to...
Well, I'm sure that's what it is. You know what's interesting is last week, Kerry didn't feel right, my wife, I didn't feel right, the kids didn't feel right, and we all, very lethargic, it was a general malaise, nothing that nobody really mentioned. We just, you know, people's energy were just down, people just didn't feel right. Kerry had a slightly upset stomach, and apparently for no reason at all. And all of a sudden this week, everybody just felt better. So I was like, you know what, they're friggin' spraying us. I mean, there's no question about it. And I don't know what they're spraying us with, but when everyone pretty much gets the same thing at almost the same exact instant with no visible cause, you could be damn sure that you're being sprayed.
Either that or that's a conspiracy theory.
Well, that's right. We don't allow that on this radio show. I forgot about that.
Oh, man. I don't know what you got to open up with. But
Nothing much other than I've been thinking about how is this going to evolve, and we see that they're starting to step down slightly, but we also see there was another armed confrontation. Where was that, over in Michigan, I think it was?
Armed confrontation? I don't think I've seen that.
Well, not an armed confrontation, but, you know, they went down to the state capitol armed. Of course, what was it, Whitmer or whatever? They, you know, they're all pissed off. And my question is, well, why haven't they fucking arrested her or it yet?
I don't know. I mean... Well, I have, you know, I got the article. It starts out, a million people have started leaving home, even in states where stay-at-home orders remain in place. I mean, the people have been defiant. It talks about the people being defiant, but there was one, let's see here. Kansas County orders businesses, not that one. One second here. Wisconsin Supreme Court strikes down state stay-at-home order. And it will be interesting. We're going to hit it before it's over with, but it's going to come down to because, well, the legislature didn't okay it. I mean, it's all right for the – you can't – I mean, it's unlawful for the executive branch, the governor or the head CEO of the state corporation to give unlawful orders, but – that violate the Bill of Rights, that violate the due process clauses, if the legislature does it, it would be okay. This is what they're trying to push through, and it isn't okay. It is a violation of the law. No government entity has the authority to do it. The 9th article and the 10th article for fucking bids it, and I mean they're trying to get these little fucking precedents. They're trying to put a precedence in place that, oh, you know, just like with the Obama bullshit, you know, 25 times saying, I can't do DACA, it's unconstitutional. And then he did it. And then all the time that, you know, he's saying the executive, I mean, the legislative branch would, or the Congress would have to do it. They're the only ones that have the power. No, they fucking don't. None of those corporations have the power. If it was a legitimate fucking constitution, they didn't have the fucking power. They do not have the fucking power. And we got to stick to that. And we got to, and these millions
and
of...
Henry,
good.
Yeah, no, you got that, but have you also noticed in their attempt to keep the distraction ratio high, they're bringing up this thing about Obama and all the crimes he committed and his administration they committed. It's like, wait a minute, nobody noticed that during the 8 years he was illegally in that office called the presidency, or the 2 years, or is it going on 3 years now since Trump became president? They just suddenly realized this?
Well, like I said, they're inundated on the stupid box with, you know, they're trying to pretend like that is that there's one justice system in this country. Now, yeah, your admiralty, your administrative admiralty ain't it. You do, I mean, you, inside the government, I mean, they're trying to mix apples and oranges because you're talking about administrative fucking conflicts with inside the fucking, well, just like you're talking about with Flynn and the fucking Obama and all this fucking shit. That's all within the administrative admiralty. And it's all in the admiralty because it's a part of the fiduciary. It has nothing to do with we the people. And everything they're doing should be on a ship off the fucking coast because they have no fucking jurisdiction on this goddamn land that we call the United States, these Americas. But, it's pushing, I'm telling you, it's all directed at the procedural due process. If they could push it this way, but it's not working. People are saying, well, I don't understand it just right, but I ain't fucking going to tell you. You ain't going to tell me where I can go and when I can't go, and I make my fucking decisions for me. I know I'm free somehow, but I mean, they are trying to so divert people away from the fucking Bill of Rights because the Bill of Rights is what's, I mean, it's what it has brought the people out in the fucking millions. And that's what's in this first article. And we'll take a look at it when we get back.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
And John B. Alrighty then, people of... millions of people have started leaving home, even in states where stay-at-home orders remain in place. This is from Daily Wire, and it was sent in by Misty for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. America is, once again, on the move. The New York Times reports that fewer people are staying at home, even though not every governor is ready to lift coronavirus-related lockdown measures. Unlawful. Fucking corona. You can suggest any fucking thing you want. You do not have the fucking authority because there is no due process. You are incarcerating people in their own homes without the due process. There is no goddamn complaint. You see, there is no warrant. There
now,
is
in
no
the
preliminary
admiralty system. You don't need that complaint mechanism, do you?
Well, evidently, this is a fucking admiralty orders. This, I mean, admiralty, it comes down, you know, it's a police state. It is police jurisdiction, and which cannot be on this fucking ground that we know as the United States, these Americas. It cannot be in our borders. It is unlawful. It is the violation of the Ninth Article. They've created an authority that they cannot create. It is forbidden, and it's forbidden for the states under the 10th article. But you know, I heard somebody, one of the talking heads, talk about Trump. You know, he actually, you know, he shut. He did. He just like the premier of China. He shut it all down. He let the governors how in the hell did he phrase it? Let them loose to go ahead and violate the fucking law is what it comes down to, and he violated the fucking law. There's no fucking one filing, not one fucking filing. And you, when they come in and they're talking about that other article I'm talking about, they'll tell you that, you know, they ordered that everybody has to wear a mask, but really they can't order the people to do the mask. It's voluntary. Well, you know, they're playing fucking games with this is what they're doing. But I'm telling you, like, you know, the shit that's going on in Michigan today, here are the people, and I'm going to show you the fucking the numbers here, the fucking people, the power that they're trying to grasp for those fucking libertarian incorporated son of a bitches who want to they want to hijack the fucking, the uprising of the people for the, and the enforcement of the fucking ratified law of the United States of these Americas, from, December 15, 1791, called our Bill of Fucking Rights. It is written fucking absolute law. They cannot fucking, they can't just say, we're gonna do this anyways. No, you can't. You're breaking the fucking law. You are committing sedition and treason. Plain and fucking simple. You've got our goddamn common law courts so that we can't file against you. But that fucking second article, you don't have that motherfucker taken care of. And that's where it's going to have to be done with the fucking second article. Plain and simple. Because like John has mentioned more than once, they're not going to fucking stop people. And they're going to keep playing these fucking games with us, you know. They're talking, I heard them talking a lot, oh, in the fall, man, it's going to be even worse. If they're calling it the black, it's going to be the black winter. A black winter. It's going to be a black winter, all right. When you're fucking hanging from the goddamn fucking yardarm and the fucking goddamn posts on the goddamn side of the road, it's going to be black for you motherfuckers. But you are not going to fucking,
well,
we're not
to how they tried to connect this to World War II, to 9/11. Now they're trying to tie to the Black Death of the 1300s. You know, They're trying every which way to make this sound like, oh, it's so awesome, it's such a threat, you gotta listen to us, you have to, otherwise you're all gonna die.
And what you will not hear is the statistics of the fucking annual influenza. And we know, I mean, goddammit, we have reported, and it's been reported on the fucking, Ministry of Propaganda, that they have been fudging the numbers. That, I mean, they tell you we had to take 300 off of this, 300 off of that, because we have nothing to prove that it had anything to do with this COVID-19. Everybody that's fucking dying, of course, just like you said, that spray, I think they sprayed something just to put a goddamn marker in you. So that, I mean, no matter what you die of, they put some nasty flus out there. I've seen the nasty flus that people got. But everybody's going to be, like, you know, you wrecking a car. He died a car. He had a coronavirus. Well, there's $300,000 for that fucking hospital because they were going to put it down. He died of COVID-19. Anyway, the New York Times reports that fewer people are staying at home, even though every governor is ready to lift coronavirus-related lockdown measures, which they have no fucking authority to put in place in the first place, designed to show or to slow or prevent the spread of the virus. It turns out millions of people, even if they aren't gathering at state houses to protest lockdowns, are making decisions for themselves. What? Making decisions for themselves like they're free fucking people?
They can't let the slaves do that.
Oh, we have a problem. Electing to venture further out, even as COVID-19 remains a threat. And you know, they're talking about, well, how are we going to coax people to go back to work? People, fucking, you shut it down. They can't go to work because you have the fucking places shut down. And they're acting like, how are we going to get them? The people won't feel safe. Fuck, they're saying fuck you in loud, loud, loud words. You better start listening. But you will not. This is the way of the tyrant. You keep squeezing the people, keep going through your fucking fingers until you're fucking hanging upside down like fucking Mussolini and his old lady, getting fucking just belted with rocks and trash and any fucking thing they can throw at your fucking corpse. Because that's where you're headed, sons of bitches. The Times analyzed widely available cell phone location data. So they, you know, you've been tracking you on your cell phone to see where you've been going and who's been going where and who's not been fucking abiding by the unlawful fucking dictates of these fucking CEOs.
isn't that the global communist wet dream right there, to be able to track everyone everywhere all the time?
Well, I think, yeah, it is, John, but it's the fear. It's the goddamn fear. They know that, I mean, they would like to know what you and I, if they could look in our minds and know what we think and know who will do what, I mean, that would be their wet dream, but still, they're so fucking grossly over fucking whelmed with the fucking people who are not going to be fucking endangered and made subjugated by these fucking pricks. That's all there is to it. And they know that the people sooner or later.
Under Obama, they put out a $100 million grant there to study the human mind because they wanted to be able to read the human mind and do just what you said, Henry.
Yep. But they'll never do it because every person is fucking different. And that's the sweet part of, you know, being a human being. You and I are different as, I mean, you can have two identical twins are not the same. They are different. They will have fucking differences. And that's really quite an amazing thing for 7 billion people. Every fucking one of them is a little bit different in one way or another, so you will never fucking break the code. And the bottom line is, you're not gonna fucking just kill us off. If you sprayed everything in our dying breaths, we're gonna fucking kill you. Period. You better just get the fuck away from us. Available data largely leaned from apps that require users to toggle on location services to track movements across the 48 central states. After weeks cooped up at home following governor's orders to contain the coronavirus outbreak, U.S. residents appear eager to get moving again. The outlet found as more states begin to relax restrictions, fuck you and your restrictions. I've never listened to them and I'm not gonna. You have no goddamn, they talk about restrictions and they talk about rules. You have no lawful fucking authority. You are violators of the fucking law. You are criminals. Yeah, and we got the right to shoot fucking criminals if they come and try to fucking take our freedom away from us. It's our fucking duty to do so. About 25 million more people ventured outside their homes on an average day last week than during the preceding 6 weeks. Last week, the share of people staying home was 36.1% on average, or about 119 million people. And all these people pissing around, I mean, I'm listening to them piss around on that one piece that was coming out of Michigan. And he doesn't have, you know, piss, you don't have a mask on. Hardly anybody had a fucking mask on. But you don't have it. Fuck you. You don't like it? Tough fucking shit. If you're scared of this shit, don't come out. You're the one that can stay inside your fucking house, have shit delivered, but you're not going to fucking do it to us. We will go and we will do as we please. If we want to take a fucking chance, it's just like if I want to climb fucking Mount Rushmore. I'll fucking climb that son of a bitch. If it kills me, it kills me. It's my goddamn business, not yours. And when this goddamn vaccine comes out, this is when lightning's going to strike the shit house. Because I got another one here, John, that fucking about, see here, exactly what the goddamn headline says, if I can get past this paper here. Trump,
it's gotta be about 500 million auto injectors.
Donald Trump, we're mobilizing military to distribute further coronavirus vaccine. You fucking do it, dude. You fucking try to fucking, you know, the thing is, with the vaccine, what's always got them with the goddamn vaccine is that if you take it and this, you got a vaccine that works, what the fuck do you care if I take it or not? I can't hurt you, can I? Because you've got your vaccine. Only when I can hurt myself and other people like me who refuse to take the fucking vaccine. And I'm not taking no goddamn vaccine. You come at me with a fucking needle, you're getting fucking shot. Get it through your fucking head. Bring the military. And then you will see how that matches up to fucking millions of fucking people with fucking guns that are just going to blow their fucking ass away. Not to mention the military isn't a well-oiled fucking communist fucking loving fucking network. Most of the people in the fucking military, and don't even realize that they're under the fucking control of NATO to start with. But you start telling these people that they're going to kill their own people, their own families, their own kind, because they refuse to take a fucking vaccine, when the fact is, if you take the vaccine, if it works and it's a real vaccine, then, well, I mean, I've heard them talk that, you know, these vaccines could make it worse. They have no fucking proof that none of this shit works. And that's going to be their fucking explanation as to why they're going to bring the military in to try and enforce this shit. Oh, because it might not work. This might not work. This, well, then fucking I ain't doing it. And you ain't putting a tracker chip in me. Get it through your fucking head. There are people who put fucking liberty above fucking life. And man, they're by the fucking millions, you sons of bitches. That's how we got this joint. And you goddamn communists, you're going to fucking pay for everything you've done. You will fucking be tried and you will be fucking hung. Those of you who aren't shot in the initial fucking attack, right in the fucking face. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's how they divide.
All participants are muted. Q&A session has started.
I don't know what happened there. Go ahead and
all participants are muted and they can unmute themselves. Q&A session is over.
Okay,
go ahead, Charlie. Sorry about that. If he's still back, that was weird.
Got it.
Go ahead. There you go. Go.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's a new way. Yeah, a new way they divide it. It's like you can tell the people wearing the mask and is one side of the argument and the people not wearing them. So, you know, it's like a new uniform.
Yeah, but they are
the North and the South.
They are so PETA. There are so few of them motherfuckers, man. I mean, everywhere you go, I mean, 1 in 25. Like we've said, this whole communist fucking, and this is the communists and the Trump tards, because the Trump tards are just as communist as the rest of them. It's corporate communism. Fucking that goddamn Donald Trump, he holds fucking 5 trademarks in fucking communist China. You cannot hold a fucking trademark in communist China without being a fucking international communist. That's why they're playing this fucking game on us, dudes. And dudettes.
And don't forget Ivanka, Henry. She's got, what, like 25 trademarks or something like that?
Exactly correct. This is the international fucking elite. I guarantee you that fucking, they talk about that Trump's had, you know, these tests and all this shit. This fucking, they're telling you these tests are 40% fucking fallible. They give false positive, and they won't tell you how many, they say there are false negatives, and false positives coming out of these fucking tests. So you're probably over 50 fucking percent, and they're gonna come out with a fucking vaccine that they fucking created in a hurry. You know, and you know, like I said, the difference between each one of us. That's why, I mean, their whole idea, you know, I don't believe a shit in their fucking vaccine. As far as I can throw this house I'm sitting in. But the whole thing is, as it has been, you know, that you, each person could have a different reaction. Other people would have other reactions. Some people, it'll kill you. And you're going to just come on, well, we're just going to do it for the, somebody said it on Goddamn This Morning, talking about for society, you have to step up and give up your individuality. Well, if you're everybody who fucking believes in this shit, wants to go and stay in their fucking house, fuck them. They got everything they want. They're protected. Or if they like these fucking, they believe in these vaccines, fucking take them. Then I can't hurt you. Even if I could get it, man, I can be punished for getting the COVID-19 and dying. You can just say, you just died of stupidity because I went and took the goddamn shot. See, that's what's got them. That is the fucking catch-22 that has fucking fucked them all the way down the line with the vaccines. Because that is a logical argument that cannot be argued with. Well, you're going to give other people's fucking sickness is that is being taken care of the vaccines. But if they've taken care of the facts, if they've taken care of the vaccines, then I cannot fucking infect them. That's the bottom line. And there's nothing that can change that fucking fact. So if you want to take it, go ahead. By all means, you can take as much as you want. Just stay. I mean, I'll try to stay away from you. I'm telling you right now, because I believe that you're going to fucking spread some kind of sickness that they're going to put in that goddamn needle along with that tracking device that, that I'm not going to accept. Let's see, where were we here? States like Georgia, Colorado, Texas, and Florida found themselves on the receiving end of harsh criticism after lifting strict lockdown measures, allowing many of their residents to return to work and opening up large swaths of public land. But even the states where lockdowns are now almost a non-existent movement has consistent with a lower than states, non-existent movement has consistent, was consistent with, lower states, where lockdown remains in place. Residents of Michigan still under strict shelter in place orders were the most mobile overall, with more than 10% more residents, on average leaving their homes. Minnesota and Vermont followed those close behind, and around 8% more people took flight over the past week than in the weeks before. Around 60% of the country is still staying home, but that many change with news this week that states were where lockdown orders were recently lifted haven't experienced predicted spikes in COVID-19 diagnosis. Florida and Georgia both had slight declines in their numbers, save for an outbreak in nursing homes in the Miami-Dade area. Texas has remained steadily with about 1,000 new cases on the novel coronavirus per day. On Wednesday, it appeared Texas may have taken a slight drop, but the numbers were not yet fully available. So that means fucking, it's all bullshit. The people are saying fuck it. The people are freeing themselves. And this is what these corporations are out there trying to capture. This is what they're trying to hijack. Is the people's fucking power. And lift and take it over to another corporation because the old fucking guard wants to take back over what the new fucking guard, the communists they let in, has the order they have established in the goddamn police state. The police, you know, the goddamn Blackwater USA motherfuckers that can't exist, that are backing, that are private fucking security, that are enforcing private fucking corporation dictates that are in violation of the fucking law. Plain and simple. We're going to go to the break. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Listening to the word from the trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chilliwack, the state of Jefferson. The word from the trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button, or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chilliwack, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated and needed. From the Trenches is hosted by Henry Shively and John D. U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny, and it is time for the tactical report. So, John, you have the floor.
Hey, Henry, thank you very much. I am John D. U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny, and it is Thursday, May 14th, 2020, at 15:38 Eastern Daylight Times, and that's 3:38 to all you non-time-telling SOBs out there. That's in the afternoon, of course. All right, let's get moving. I just want to mention this again, and I've certainly taken the time, and I hope I've emphasized this enough, talking about the nature of debt, the financial system, the global financial system, and why it will implode. And the consideration you want to keep in mind is, how do you want to use the cash that you have in your pocket, you have in your savings account, while it still has some purchasing power? Because what happens is, once the inflation starts, and people typically don't see it, they grumble about it, but they don't realize that once you're going into a hyperinflationary mode, in the beginning, it's kind of like walking along the beach and the waves are just up to your ankles, up to your feet, but nothing more than that. They don't realize you're about to wander into some much deeper waters. And, of course, that's what hyperinflation is. And initially, most people won't recognize that hyperinflation has started. Most of our listeners will, because I've been harping on it. And so your decision is, how do you want to use those resources, that we call currency, while it still has meaning, while it still has purchasing power? And that's a question I can't answer, or no one else. Only you can determine that best for your circumstances. And we're going to continue on with that notion, best for your own circumstances, because this is the tactical report, and we're going to get into some tactics, I believe, today. But I want to mention that real quick. Before I get into tactics, let's just mention the gold and silver. Gold is a little over $1,700 an ounce. Silver's holding at about $15 an ounce. And again, silver has been described by many, many of the financial traders, the precious metal traders, hedge fund traders, mutual fund traders, as probably the most undervalued asset in probably the last few hundred years, if not the last several hundred years. Forget about the best undervalued asset in our lifetime. It's much bigger than that. When the hyperinflation starts, gold is going to explode to the upside. Silver will certainly explode at a much greater rate than gold will. If you want to preserve purchasing power, you want to put it in something that will have value, regardless of whether the U.S. dollar, the Canadian loon, the Japanese yen, or whatever dollar or currency you're using becomes worthless. Real items, tangible items, don't become worthless. Now, they may not have a lot of trading power at a particular point, because it depends on your level of privation, such as when people are starving. Food has much, much greater value. People are willing to trade you much more for it if they're starving than in a time of plenty. When their refrigerator is full, they have no problem going out to go buy something to eat if they wanted a fast food joint. Well, then a burger's worth $2 or $3 to them, maybe $4. But when you're in a time of absolute privation, there's no food anywhere, the shelves are empty, well, what would that burger be worth? Or what would a can of food be worth then? And of course it's going to be worth more than whatever the asking price was before that condition arose. So the idea is, you don't have to put it in gold and silver, but you certainly want to put it in something that you know will retain purchasing power, will have value, that is defined by the nature of the circumstances you're in at the time. And when we reach a condition of financial collapse, that means money's worthless and people are going to have a hard time getting a lot of basic items, including toilet paper, but certainly food, maybe water. Water could become an issue. Certainly fuel, tools, and believe it or not, parts. Because, you know, even in the Depression, people still use mechanical devices. People are still trying to produce. People are still trying to accomplish something. People are still trying to work. And you need parts to keep all that equipment and all that machinery still working. But what happens when the cost of those parts is now exponentially greater? They've gone up 10%, 50%, 1,000%, 5,000%.
John.
1,000%.
John.
Because that's what happens when the currency hyperinflates. And you can't afford the parts. Well, if I happen to have some parts that can be used in more than one piece of equipment, well, it gives you certainly something that's barterable and certainly has trading value. So just a
John. John. We have lost John. And I don't think John knows.
Yeah, are you there, Henry?
You there? Yeah, we completely lost you there for a little bit. Dial back in, John, if you can hear me. Dial back in, if you can hear me. John? People. Well, it seems we've lost John.
Are you there, Henry?
Are you there?
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Laura. Send him a message. I can hear you. I can hear you. I guess he can't hear me now.
Henry, are you there?
I am here. I can hear you, but you were cutting out. Can you hear me?
Yeah. It sounds like we're kind of on a marginal disconnect here.
Yeah, you were cutting out and I was cutting out. Maybe you want to dial back in.
I already hung up and dialed in. You want me to do it again?
Oh, you're doing fine right now. You can go on ahead now.
Okay.
We'll see how it works.
All right, so apparently they don't like my message because it's accurate and it's true. And this is about getting people prepared for what's coming, not for what we have at the moment. Because what's coming is going to be much more difficult to deal with than even current circumstances are right now, even under this communist occupation and lockdown of our country. All right, so let's get moving. I just wanted to mention this real quick, and I keep harping on this because I can't overstate it enough that the currency will hyperinflate at some point. So I cover these bullshit markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is a little over 23,000, which is nonsense. The U.S. dollar index is at 100%, meaning all the currencies are equally worthless. And the crude oil is still just barely over $27 a barrel, which is still below the production cost of most countries, which means all those countries are doing the same thing. They're printing money. They're printing their own form of currency ad infinitum. It's called monetizing debt. They're pushing hot money into their economies, and this contributes to global inflation as well as their national, regional inflationary pressures. Money will become worthless. The only thing that's not guaranteed is the timetable right now. In fact, they've done an excellent job of kicking the can down the road, is a phrase they like to use, but they can only do that for so long, and we are in the end game. Now, what's one of the ways we know we're in the end game? I'm just going to mention this real quick again. Let's see if I can get over here. the U.S. national debt clock, $25.2 trillion. Well, hell, just last week it was 24.9 or 24.8 even. And now we're up to $25.2 trillion. It's unbelievable. You know that a round-off error on $25 trillion is $100 billion. That's a round-off error. That's how enormous this debt is. It's a fraud. It's a con. And it's about to implode, people. I love going over. If you go over to U.S. National Debt Clock and you look on the revenue side, the green side, the money that's supposed to be going in, all of the indicators are going backwards. I don't even know what that means, because as far as I know, these indicators are supposed to reflect the money that's actually going into the coffers at a particular moment, not what they're going to collect for the entire year. That is not their estimate. It's supposed to be what have they collected up to this point of the calendar or fiscal year. Fiscal year is typically the one. And all the indicators are running backwards. All that means is that the money that was put in or the money that was collected by the state, local, and federal government is now being taken back out. I don't even know how you do that. So I'm not even sure what this means. I've never seen this before, and I don't think anyone else has either. And what's one last one? There's a box down here, and it's called unfunded debt slash interest. And it's the total, supposedly the accrued debt of the United States, just the United States, and the big number, not even the national debt, which is $25.2 trillion, but the total U.S. debt is over $77 trillion. Yeah. Let me give you a hint. When we were approximately, if I remember right, I did a quick calculation once. When we were at like $8 or $9 trillion, we were already past the point of mathematical return. That is, even if we took 100% of everything everybody made, you still couldn't pay off the debt at that point. And that was roughly at the $9 or $10 trillion mark. So certainly, being up here at $25 trillion, $50 trillion, $77 trillion, well, the more realistic numbers I've seen is that the total U.S. unfunded liabilities debt is in excess of $100, $150 trillion. You throw in all the derivatives of the banks, there's another $400, $500 trillion. It just sounds like a comic book storyline. You know, it's a bazillion dollars. Which is not a real number, but trillions is a real number. Quadrillions is a real number. This so-called debt and these phony numbers, which are supposed to be real, are astronomical. So even if they were real, let's just say that these government numbers, these fake government numbers that they've downplayed, were real, it would still be long impossible, absolutely impossible to ever pay it back. All right, so let's get going here. Let's talk about the major resource in the coming conflict, and that's going to be, well, you are the major resource in the coming conflict. Now, people don't think of themselves as a resource, but you are. Your capabilities, your training, your experience, and your willingness to fight. This makes you a unique resource because everybody is different in these regards. What kind of training have you had? What kind of experience have you had fighting or willingness to fight? What kind of equipment do you have? What kind of resources do you have to support your fighting? That makes you a resource. And as a resource, like all resources, you need maintenance from time to time, and so you should be engaging in some maintenance. And what's some of the primary maintenance you should be engaging in right now? Number one, your health. You've got to be in fighting condition. Let me give you a clue. If you are wheelchair-bound, you are not going to be in the fight. If you are a severe diabetic, you're not going to be in the fight. If you are grossly overweight, you're not going to be in the fight. If you have a severe heart or lung condition, you're not going to be in the fight. If you're missing an arm or your fingers or your hands are missing, you're not going to be in the fight. You've got to be in fighting condition to fight. And even if you're marginal, at least you can improve upon that, and you should start here and now if you haven't already, even if it's with something simple. If you don't exercise on a daily basis or semi-daily basis, like every other day or every third day, start small, start simple. You've still got a little time before the actual fighting starts, I believe, and it will make a difference. Every level of fitness that you have will make you that much more survivable in an actual fight. Start off simple. I started off, when I started working out again, and this is only about 5-6 months ago, I started off with 10 sit-ups, 20 push-ups, and running a quarter mile, because I hadn't done any exercise in a while. And the last thing I wanted to do, because I'm 57 now, the last thing I want to do is push my muscles, the ligaments, and the tendons to the point where I injure them, and then I got to step back from the training because I push too hard too fast. I've got the what I call the rule of two. And it basically goes like this. When you're in your teens, you know, you're a peak fitness, or should be. But when you go into your 20s, as you push yourself, if you push your ligaments and tendons especially, because they get injured more easily or they take longer to heal from an injury than muscles do, when you're in your 20s, it now takes about twice as long for ligament or tendon damage or injury to heal than compared to when you were in your teens. When you're in your 30s, it takes about 2 times 3. It takes about 6 times longer for your ligaments or tendons to heal as compared to when you're in your teens. When you're in your 40s, it's 2 times 4. It's about 8 times longer. When you're in your 50s, it's 2 times 5. It's about 10 times longer for your ligaments and tendons to heal compared to when you're in your teens. So you want to start off easy, because the last thing you want to do is injure yourself in a way where you actually have to avoid physical training. You got to be smart about it, but you will increase your strength and your vigor. And it's essential to fighting. Now, I know about this because I used to be a gymnast. That's what I did in high school. I wasn't on the football team. I was actually a gymnast. And let me tell you, gymnasts injure themselves every goddamn week. No question about it, because we're always pushing ourselves to the absolute limits of what our bodies can do. But when you're in your teens, even then, sometimes it took weeks before your injury would heal. In fact, I even saw one guy. He was up on the parallel bars, and he was doing what was called a one-handed handstand. He was up on the parallel bars, straight up handstand on the parallel bars, and then you lean over and you go, and you're holding yourself in a one-handed handstand. And then if you really want to be fancy, you do a twist. While you're up there, you slowly rotate about 90, 100 degrees in one way and then back the other way. And you show that you have complete control. Well, while he was doing that, the bones in his arm actually broke, pushed out of the skin, and of course he flipped off the handlebars to that, and there was blood all over the place, and they had to be rushed to the hospital. But here he is in his teens. I mean, you're pretty much your peak performance. And he had been a gymnast. He had already been in gymnastics that was his third year in, and he still sustained that kind of injury. So the point is, it's much easier to injure yourself than you think sometimes. So start off easy. If you're not exercising, start an exercise program. Start off small. Start off easy. The three parts of your body. Upper body, start off with 10 push-ups. Middle body, start off with 10 sit-ups. Lower body, start by walking or jogging. Oh, hold on 1 second. I'm sorry about that. Start off by walking a quarter mile. And then as you feel your strength increasing, you can start to up those. Now, like I said, I started probably 6-7 months ago, and now I'm up to the point where I exercise almost every day. I skip a day here and there. 150 sit-ups, jogging to almost 2 miles, no problem. And, of course, doing the push-ups. 150 sit-ups. I keep my sit-ups and my push-ups equal. I don't know why. I just do. So anyway, that's a critical resource maintenance, because you can't fight if you're not in physical condition for it. All right, let's talk about a tactic real quick. I got a couple of minutes here. Now remember, one of the things they're going to use against us when the fighting starts is, I'm sorry, the phone always rings. The phone's almost dead the whole day except when the show's going. Then all of a sudden it starts ringing. So let me make sure this is off here. All right. Sorry about that. I'm going to next time just disconnect the phone during the show. All right. So let's start off. One of the things they're going to be using against you is your tracking information. Those little iPhones you carry. Everyone loves them. Smartphones. Yeah, well, they've all got GPS units in them. They've all got tracking in them. And even if you disconnect them, the cell towers triangulate on you. The cell towers triangulate on you, and they know where you are to within several feet. They're going to use this information against you. Now, when it reaches a point where what you're getting from the internet is less important than what the government is getting about you, or these enemy forces. It's not the government, it's enemy forces. This is when you want to start considering cutting those data lines. You see along the telephone poles there, they got the high lines way on top of the telephone poles. It looks like a single, almost like a single cable or a couple of cables, and it's way on top of the telephone pole. Well, those are the power lines. They carry electricity at high voltage. You don't want to go near them. You don't want to touch them because you will get seriously messed up or killed, pretty much killed instantly if you touch one of those. But the data lines below them, the big black cables, the ones that are only up there about 15 feet, maybe 12 feet above ground level, those are data line cables, and that's what the government's using. The government is using – remember, they've set up this surveillance system, this surveillance grid around the entire country. This is what they've been spending billions of dollars and decades of time on, is building the police state and a surveillance grid. Well, what is the infrastructure of that surveillance grid? It's them data cables you see in the telephone pole lines. Well, you know what you start doing when the point when it reaches that right point? You go up there, you take a saw, and you cut right through those effing data cables. Well, it's going to get rid of your phone service. It's probably going to get rid of your internet. Won't kill your power because the power lines are the ones on top, the way at the very top of the telephone poles. You don't go near those. That would kill you. But those big black cables that are about 12 feet off the street, data cables. And if you have to, when a point when we reach the right point, you're going to have to slice them because you don't want them using any of that information against us. But you've got to be at that point in the balance where whatever it was you were using the data for yourself is now being outweighed by the use of it by this enemy force, the enemy force in occupation. And that's a very strong consideration. That's going to be something that is when we're well into a battle with them, not in the opening game, not when the initial fights first start. And we're going to talk about more of those tactics during this tomorrow and next week. We're going to be getting into more specific tactics, especially what the opening game will look like and how it's going to evolve. And we're going to rely on some of the lessons from history and, well, the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, how it occurred in other countries when they had an uprising or they had a revolution. And I don't like the word revolution because revolution means change from the top down, meaning the scumbags who were in charge and causing the problems stay in charge after the fighting has stopped. So we don't want a revolution. What we want is an uprising and a cleansing. Anyway, I'm going to get this back to Henry right now, and we're going to talk about more of this tomorrow.
All righty, then. Excellent report. And I couldn't agree with you more about people getting in the best shape they can, because the people who are going to get this shit going, I do believe, are going to be us older fellas. And I personally work out 5 days a week, and I have for God, I've worked out since I was a kid. I was 14 years old. And I can feel the deterioration in my body.